Welcome to this broadcast of Power Walk. We're excited that you've joined us today as Reverend Paul Cannings teaches on the subject of exercising faith in adversity. The lessons through the life of Nehemiah are powerful and practical for us to apply to our lives today. Nehemiah faced a daunting and, humanly speaking, impossible situation. Dr. Cannings unravels for us the step-by-step action which Nehemiah took. Here's Dr. Cannings now with part one of a two-part message titled, A Productive Strategy.
Going through difficult situations is one thing, but learning how to make our way through it is a whole different issue. The Bible says we will have many tribulations. Trials will come. The Bible says that He's going to take us through these trials because He sees that they're necessary, 1 Peter chapter 1. The issue isn't whether or not we will face trials. The Bible is saying we're going to have them, so that's going to take place because God does not lie. The issue is, how do we make our way through adversity so that the purpose of adversity is achieved? We mature, we grow, we get better, stronger, wiser, because He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Nehemiah teaches us this very well. Nehemiah comes to these situations and he is battled like many Christians battled, where we think we are doing a lot, but technically we're not approaching the issue. What do I mean by that? We will pray, which is what we need to do. The Bible says, you know, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, those who are committed to do what God is saying, their effective prayer, their fervent prayer would avail much. And so we pray. But then many times we'll say, we'll get up and we're going to keep pressing, meaning that we'll do the right things. But even though we are in the issue, we haven't put together a strategy to solve the issue. And so we hit and miss, only sometimes to intensify the adversity. And sometimes we wear out. We become weary. So how do we make it through these difficult situations with a plan? And how do we know how to structure the plan to achieve the results that we expect God to provide? Well, you see, this is what Nehemiah teaches us. The first principle is that we must address the issue for what it is. In chapter 2, verse 17, Nehemiah said that I assert myself to the issue. He went to Xerxes. He gave a Xerxes a plan. He moved forward in knowing that he has to get through the forests and find the trees and know what to do with the trees. He's got to get a pass to get through these various cities so these people don't stop him and kill him or tax him. So he's got to deal with all of these different things. So he addresses it. He asserts himself to it. In verse 17, he says, "Then I said to them," he's gotten on his horse, he's ridden through the city, he's gone up into the walls, he's seen the problems, he's examined the issues and see how bad it is. And then the second thing he tells us is, we have to accept the situation for what it is. We got to stop saying, oh, this is wonderful, God is going to bless, and you know, things are going to get better, and we're just going to trust the Lord. And he said, no. Nehemiah said, this is a bad situation. We did sin. We did do wrong, and God's law did do what it says it's going to do. So we're in a bad situation, and that God did turn against. But we're now back here. The situation of the rubble, and then you have enemies that are using our land to transport spices, and then you've got the enemy thinking our gods hate us because the bricks came down, and when the bricks came down, they were on fire. So the enemy looked at that as the gods are mad with them, so the enemy feels empowered. So now we got empowered enemies. Not only that they're using our land to do what they want, they feel empowered to do it. So the situation is bad. So he accepts it for what it is. He didn't spiritualize it and make it sound all apple pie and bluebell ice cream. He didn't do that. He called it what it is. So we have to face the situation for what it is. They never made it any nice and sweet and politically correct. That's part of how it affects our prayer life. The Bible says our prayer life has to be a petition to God. So specific. We cry out to God. We become more dependent, more prostrate before God. If we are dressing it up, it messes up our prayer life and it messes up the next thing, the strategy. Look at what Nehemiah says. He says, let us go rebuild. So in other words, the next thing we have to keep in mind is, what is the major objective ahead of us? What is it we're trying to achieve? We already know why, but what? It doesn't matter how big the situation is. If we measure something by our ability, then our ability brings us below God's capability. We must measure what we need to do by what God is telling us we need to get done, and we depend on His ability, and therefore it requires faith, which removes fear and calls for action. The issue is rebuilding this wall, finishing the wall. They started it, They sent a letter to Xerxes, Sanballat, and the rest of the folks. And Xerxes believed them and sent a letter back saying, stop these people from rebuilding since they're rebellious people. So the situation is not where they're starting the wall from scratch. They're continuing the wall. That's the objective. We need to continue this wall because we can't keep letting our kids be abused. We can't keep starving through the winters and be the reproach of the world. So we got to stop it. So the objective has to be clear, and then everyone has to be centered to it. So he says that in verse 17, the bad situation we are in, not the bad situation I came to help you with, the bad situation we are in has to be a unified force committed to go through the process of getting there. Because it never said that God is going to make it to apple pie and ice cream. Every day we are committed to make the marriage work. So God is just going to bless my wife and husband to think godly. No, it doesn't always work that way. The issue for us is, how do we kick in this strategy? We got to have a unified force. Nehemiah has a group of people who are getting so beat up, it's easy to get him on the team. Now, some people don't have that vision. They can see the city falling apart and just run someplace safe and say, God bless you, and go to church, do their thing like these people were doing. Temple was rebuilt. Haggai had them rebuild it. So Zechariah, after they did what Haggai said, came and got them to do spiritual stuff, but they got to the routine of spirituality. So their situation stayed the same. So now he has to rebuild them spiritually later, but he brings them to the physical issue that is of a major concern for their families. The next thing we find is in verse 18. He says, I told them how the hand of my God. Wow, that's powerful. Now, we read the hand of my God in chapter two, in the bottom part of verse 8. When he did get a passage through the various cities, he was able to get the trees cut down and timber made. He was able to come back into the city safe, 900-mile trip, and he's able to arrive with Xerxes blessing him with soldiers to come along with him. So he says, God, meaning he didn't do nothing other than say to Xerxes, I need to go take care of my father's graves. I need to go back to my father's city. I need to honor their legacy. And that's all I said. That's all he said and prayed and fasted. The rest of it, God did. God gave him favor with Xerxes, the very man that wrote the letter saying, stop them from rebuilding the wall, sent them home to rebuild it. Just God. To get through the cities with a letter, God. To get the trees cut down and get the timber, God. To make it 900 miles with all of the adversity that could take place, some people say it could have taken him 2 years, some people say a year to get back. So by the time he gets back to the people, God's hand is not just shown itself, God has become personal. Two times Nehemiah would say, my God. He just got through saying we. But when it came to God, he says, my God. And several times he has used the word Lord, Adonai, the one who fights, the one who keeps a covenant, the one who's committed to have a relationship with his people and would sustain that relationship based on his covenant relationship with them. But he's not using Lord, so he's making a choice here. So he's purposely just saying God, the hand of my God. What Nehemiah is saying is, in the process of doing, just telling Xerxes, hey, I got to go back to take care of my people. My father's tombs lie desolate and its gates are burned with fire. I can't just sit here knowing that and do nothing. I need help. Just saying that and having a relationship with Xerxes by the fact that I served him faithfully and led to a good relationship is all God. Now I see God for who he is. In other words, when I was a cupbearer, just doing what I was supposed to do, showing up at work the way I was supposed to show up, managing everything with great ethics like I'm supposed to, I was sending money back home for mission trips to build a wall. Everything was good. But he wasn't my God. He was my God when I decided to make the 900-mile trip and saw, at the risk of my life, him get me here to take care of the people. He's now my God. See, folks, when God becomes personal, you start tracking people throughout the scriptures, and it's a different ballgame. You pick up Mordecai in this Esther story, nothing. Even though God is never mentioned, they stuck trust in God. They came against the total impossibility of something going right, something being fixed, something being resolved, and look at it from an experience they had with God. Because once you experience God, there is nothing you believe you can't do. That's why Paul, towards the end of his life, would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when I experience God for who he is, there's nothing in my experience that God can't take care of. Folks, that's what makes us face the impossible with a sense of joy and strength, because our experience of God becomes what they say in chapter 9, the joy of the Lord became my strength. The attitude that God has towards the issues I face, joy, became what gave me the inner ability to keep moving. That's what moves Nehemiah forward. The key thing is an intimate walk with God. I love it where Paul says it towards the end of his journey. I no longer live. It is Christ that lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Oh, folks, when he becomes that personal, we no longer exist. We're at the pinnacle of being true disciples because we've completely died to self. The issue with adversity is not how big the issue is. It's who we go through the issue with. Let's stay focused.
It's true, Dr. Cannings. Without a strategy, we can wear out as we are faced with the challenges of life. Nehemiah earnestly and fervently sought God's wisdom and direction, and so must we. Right now, here's Dr. Cannings with a brief word to you.
As I stand in front of us today, I'm excited that we came back from Africa with a great team that is from New Jersey, from Houston, from Grand Bahama, from Haiti. And we have been serving now for a while now in Muzanzi, Rwanda. And it was an awesome time. They brought their leaders, their wives. We had a great time sharing and growing together. And we touched pastors from around the world. And we were excited because they came from different countries. We were excited also that the university is being built. All of these things is what Power Walk is about. And when we go to Africa, we touch 4 or 5 nations at one time. Power Walk wants to do what the scriptures encourage us to do, and that is to go make a difference in the world. And I pray that you would support us as we go about doing God's work for God's glory, for God's honor. And I pray that your support will allow us to reach our budget of $300,000. Help us to finish this year in the black. We need your support. And I pray that if God so moves you to do greater than that, we would love to go further in touching lives for the glory of God. When you touch Power Walk, you're touching families, you're touching communities, you're touching the world. It's not just a television ministry. It is an impact to touch the world and to make a difference for God's glory as he commanded us to. We look forward to your gift. Thank you.
If you have any questions about spiritual matters and would like to speak to someone about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then please give us a call at 260-7402. Our web address is powerwalkministries.org. If you'd prefer to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 920-517, Houston, Texas 77092. As we leave you, remember, every problem will be big if measured by our ability to handle it. Instead, let's trust God and depend on His ability.